Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
All right, here we go. I got a message today, kicking off a new series. And the new series is God Will Make a Way. God will make a way. Amen. You know what? Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing well. Listen to me. You may not need this message today, but you will need it. You will need it because we live in an ever-changing time. The earth is always changing. Things are changing. Things happen. And you know, there comes times in our lives where we feel like I have my back up against the wall. There's no escape. I have no idea how this is going to work out. I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place. Anybody ever been there? And maybe you're there today. And you know what? This is a good word for you. It's inspired by the Lord. And so today we're just going to, I just want you to get it. Amen? I just want you to get it. You know, whenever you preach a message, you know, we learn this. There are things we want to have information where you know it, where you learn something. And I'm a teacher. I always want to teach you something where you know it and where you get it. You know, there's one thing where we can think we know something, but we really don't understand it. We don't really understand it. And really, a good example of that would be like algebra. How many just knew enough to get through the class, right? You memorized the formulas. You just knew enough to get through the class. You didn't really have a grasp or an understanding of it, right? Like other people do. But see, when it comes to the word, we don't want to know just enough to get through the class. We want to know the truth and then live from that truth. That's how you know if you really know something, if you live from that, where it's not just head knowledge, but it becomes revelation. Amen? It has revealed a truth to you, and now that you see it, you can never unsee it. Amen? And that's what we want you to get today. That's what I want you to get today. And then inspiration. You want to be inspired to move, to move forward in what you just learned. And then, of course, application. You know, I know that you guys kind of maybe tease, you know, oh, 3 ways to do this, 10 ways to do that. But you know why we do that is because it helps you with application. Yeah. Right? It helps you apply. Because if you don't apply what you learn, what good is it? Right? It's like medication that you get from the doctor. If you have an infection and the doctor gives you an antibiotic and you never take it, what good is it? Does it work? Yeah, but you got to apply it. You got to put it where it goes. And so today, just my goal today is I want you to know something. I want this phrase, God will make a way. We're going to hear it a bunch today. And I just want it to be so in us that when we're riding in our car, when we're sitting at the dining room table trying to figure things out, when we're feeling like man, this is just a bad situation, and I don't know how it's going to work out, it will rise up out of you. God will make a way. Amen? God will make a way. And some of you, I can tell by the look on your face, you're kind of like, well, I don't know if he will. I don't know if he will. Well, I'm going to show you that he will. Amen? I'm going to show you that he will. I think we'd all agree that life's a journey, right? Life is a journey. And one of my favorite message series that I did was last year called Road Trip. And I based it on the big trip that we took. We went to California on the motorcycles, and it was great and all that. But you know, it had some potholes to it, had some high winds, had some things happen, right? And you know what? That's how life is. How many know life has got some bumps in it? Yeah. Life has got some bumps. Life has got some curves that you didn't see coming. Anybody have one of those where, whoa, that life just threw me a curveball? Like, you know, and so the thing is, life is a journey. But here's the thing. We have a decision to make. I can travel with God or I can travel without God. Because regardless, there's going to be bumps in the road. Regardless, there's going to be a curve. There's going to be high winds. There's going to be storms. And so we've got to decide, am I going to go through the storms and the high winds and the bumps? I can do it with God or I can do it without God. It's my choice. And looking out, we see we got some, you know, pretty smart people in here today. It seems like a really, like an easy choice to make. Well, of course, I'm going to do it with God. But the thing is, a lot of times, We hear the word and we get into the word at church, but then when Monday comes, we kind of put God up on a shelf and we're like, I'll see you on Sunday. You know, God, Jesus didn't die on the cross for just Sunday.
Come on.
Amen. He came for us. He died for us. He's provided for us all the help that we need for every day. For every bump, for every curve, for every road, for every mountain, for every situation, for every family member, for every coworker, whatever it is. And so we got to make sure that as we're traveling through life, we're not putting God up on a shelf and saying, I'll get back to you. And a lot of times we do that, we don't really say that, but we do it by our actions. We're not letting God in. We're not putting God in the car saying, come on, let's take this trip. You know, one time on a motorcycle trip, this is a true story. You know, I've been on several motorcycle trips, and this was years ago, back before I got married. And I was riding with my dad, and we had stopped somewhere, and I had gotten off the motorcycle, and then I went to get back on, and he took off. He literally left me on the side of the road, no joke, and had no idea that I wasn't with him. I was much thinner then, so it was probably easier to, you know, and my dad's just, and my brother realizes, like, where's Peggy? And comes back and gets me. He left me. And so I don't let him, you know, I don't let him live that down. I always say, remember that time, you know? But here's the thing. A lot of times that's exactly what we're doing with God. We're just like, all right, time to go. Let's go. And we're leaving who's most important. We're leaving who we need the most. We're leaving the way maker. And we're doing it by not having time with him, not talking with him, not putting him in the car. Amen. We're just leaving him out. And so we have a choice to make. Am I going to take this ride with God or without God? Amen. And I think obviously the right choice is to go with God. So turn over to Psalms 46. Psalms 46, we're going to make a decision today. I'm traveling with God today, amen? And God will make a way. And here we are in Psalms 46. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. I say this scripture a lot. I love this scripture. And it says, God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though, and some translations say, even if the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. And then it says, Selah. Or some people pronounce it Selah, however you pronounce it. But what that word means, you know, sometimes we just skip over that. But what that word means, it means to pause and take in what you just read. It means to pause and take it in. Don't be in such a rush that you're leaving it by the side of the road. Did you get that? Don't be in such a rush that you're leaving these truths by the side of the road. And so when we look at that, God is our refuge and our strength. A very present help in trouble. Now, most of us in here know, but maybe you don't know, and it's great. Now you're going to know. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew. The New Testament is written in Greek. And these are two of the richest languages there are. And so what that means is many times one word that is in the Hebrew is a whole phrase in English. Because one word can have so much fullness and texture and meaning to it. And so it's very interesting if you like to study these things, that in this scripture, the phrase, a very present help in trouble. Every one of those words has one Hebrew word. Now, if you don't know a lot about Bible study and things like that, take it from me, that's huge. That's huge. That means that this point, they could write a whole book about. They could write a whole book on this one phrase. He is a very present, oh, I love that, very present help in trouble. very present help in trouble. And you know, we have this, we've come in our culture where we're forgetting what the word present means. Some of you are not present now. Your head is somewhere else. Your mind is somewhere else. You know, I think that there was a time, or maybe I'm getting older, but I feel like I used to be able to do two things at one time. You know, like I could listen to like a TV show and be doing something else. And lately I've noticed I can't do that. Because I'll be like, somebody will text me and I'll text them back. And then I'll look and I'll be like, I have no idea what anybody said. I've totally checked out and I've checked into something else. Even though I'm standing there, how many of you ever talked to somebody that they're standing there, but they are not present? Right? They are somewhere else. That is not what present means. That is not what it means. He says a very present. God is here. His attention is on you. His attention is on me. God is big enough to give each one of us full attention. He is very present. Very present. And that word very there, you know, that word, it includes the idea of ferocious, behemoth, a force. Isn't that good? And I love when it says, in trouble. And so often when we're in trouble, we run from God and not to God. It says he is a very present help in trouble. So if you're in trouble, God is there for you. And it doesn't say that it could only be trouble somebody else caused. It could be trouble you got yourself into. It could be trouble you got yourself into by saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, being in the wrong place, whatever. That's where God's mercy comes in. And he says, listen, if you're in trouble, I'm there. I'm there. Man, I love that. He says, therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear, even if the earth be removed, in the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Man, that's some big trouble. Can you imagine? The earth begins to shake. Things are changing. This would be a massive change if mountains began to shake and to move. And you know what? We're living in times like that, where things that were bedrock that we thought would never change are now changing. And you know what? God says he is a very present help right now. He is a very present help right now. He is a ferocious force for you and for me. Man, isn't that good news? I tell you what, that's good news. And so when we look at that, I love where it says in trouble, not just when times are good. You know, all the bills are paid, everybody's getting along, things are good, your job's good, it's all that. And we think, oh, God is here. No, God is here in trouble. When it seems like nothing is working out, when it seems like everything is going down the tubes, when you make big blunders and you think, man, why did I say that? How did I get myself in this mess? What was I thinking? Anybody been there? And you know what? We can step back and say, you know what? God is here for me in this trouble. He is my help. He doesn't just show up and look like, look at you. Look at you. Right? That's not God. He's my help. He's helping me. I don't know about you, but that gives me such great peace. That no matter what's going on, I can look and say, you know what? God is here. God is helping me. God will make a way. I got myself in a mess. God will make a way. I got a bad report. God will make a way. Nobody likes me. God will make a way. Everything feels like it's going wrong. God will make a way. He is my ever-present help. My ever-present help. Man, you need to get that in you because you're going to need help one day and you need to turn to the right place. You need to turn to the one who can literally move anything. Anything. He can do anything. We need to look to the right place because so often when times of trouble comes, we immediately either just fall apart or start falling onto other people and want other people to fix something for us, and they don't have the ability to do that. But God does. He is my ever-present help, my ever-present help, my ever-present help. He doesn't leave me. God is with me. Even when bad things happen, God makes a way. God is with me. God is helping me. And you know that what that means, God is with me, that means I'm never alone. He's my ever-present. I'm never alone. Quit letting the enemy lie to you and tell you that nobody cares about you, that you're all alone, that nobody understands. God is your ever-present help. You are not alone. You are not alone. We can look back in the Old Testament with Gideon, and he said, what's going to happen? How are we going to do it? And God said, there are more with you than there are against you. That's truth. These aren't just stories. This is truth. God is with me, and God will help me. Oh, aren't you glad God's a helper? Amen. Aren't you glad God will help you? Let's make that personal this morning. Say, I'm never alone. I'm never alone. I'm never alone. I'm never without help. I'm never without help. Man, just get the gravity of that statement. I am never without help. Never without help. Never without help. Never without help. God is with me. Amen. God is with me. Let's get God back in the car. Amen. We need God for the journey we're on. We need God for the marriages we're in. We need God for the jobs we have. We need God to live on this earth, for goodness sake. We need God. He's my ever-present help. My ever-present help. I'm never, ever alone. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 6, so many of us, we know the scripture. It says, be strong. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. It doesn't matter who your them is. Who's your them? It could be bills. It could be people. It could be people that you feel like don't like you. It could be your family. It could be whatever. Just whoever your them is. God's saying, don't be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one. He is the one, not your mama. He is the one. Amen. He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Oh, isn't that good? And you know what? If you're not strong, if you say, man, Pastor, I just don't feel strong. I don't feel like I have courage. I don't feel like I have that. You know what? Then you are not, you don't have a revelation. Do you hear me? A revelation is a truth that you live from. It's just something you've heard. You've got to build that truth on the inside of you, because when you know that he is the one who goes with you, you'll have courage and you won't be afraid. Amen? Amen? How many are, you know, I'm the youngest of seven. Youngest of seven kids. I always joked my parents finally got it right and they were able to stop, you know? A joke never gets old. But the thing is that you, as a baby sister, you know, a little sister, you always feel more confident when what? Big brothers are around. Your mouth is bigger, is louder. You got more attitude. Why? Because you got backup, right? Not even backup. You got up. They're gonna go before you. They're gonna help, you know, if you got a good brother. But, you know, I just remember many times where I, you know, think about this, about if you're in a situation, you know, I always think if I was on The Amazing Race or something like that, you know, who would you want with you? Who would you want with you if something happened? Who do you want with you? Man, we need to get a revelation that the one who is with me is God. And he's the one I need. It's great to have people that help you and all that, but if my trust is only in them, it's going to be lacking. Because I need, there are some things, I don't care how much my brother loves me, there are things he cannot do. There are wounds he cannot heal. There are answers he cannot give. There is direction he does not have. But the one who is with me, he does. So if you're putting all your trust in people, you are limiting yourself in a great way. That's what Job did. If you think about it, you know, nobody ever wants to talk about Job. But if you really study out Job, You see that when Job had everything that happened to him, and Job is Old Testament, but when Job had all this stuff happen, his friends kept coming and giving him answers and answers and answers and answers, and they were not the answers he needed because he did not need more answers. God gave him an encounter with the person of God. See, people can have all the answers in the world, but they do not even come close to the presence of God in your life. Because when the presence of God, when you understand that he is with you, when it becomes a revelation knowledge, people are going to say, how? And you're going to say, God. A friend, my friend Beth Jones, she posted this on her Facebook or something. And I said, oh man, that's so good. It goes in my message. Isn't that how it is? People are going to be like, how? How are you going to do that? How's that going to happen? What? Blah, blah, blah. And we just be like, God. Isn't that so good? God. You know why? Because God makes a way. He is the one. He is the one. He is my ever-present help. He is the one who goes with me. He will not leave me nor forsake me. You know, when I was younger and just, you know, in the world and being crazy, I remember just being at a breaking point in my life, and thank God I knew some scripture, and I remember I knew this scripture, and I said to the Lord, I was like, God, I'm sure you want to leave me because of where I am and what I'm doing and how stupid I am and just all this trouble I've got myself into, but your word says you can't. You are stuck with me. You are stuck with me. And I remember I was outside, I was walking in my neighborhood, and I was just crying, and just so much crazy was going on, all self-inflicted. You know, don't think God doesn't help with self-inflicted wounds. He does. Amen? He does. Don't think God doesn't help when you jumped into the pit. He'll still pull you out. The enemy, you know, the enemy, the Bible says that the devil, he is the accuser of the brethren. He'll talk you into doing something, and then he'll just beat you over the head with it once you do it. He'll just keep telling you how awful you are. How could you do this? You knew better. What were you thinking? Blah, 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 right? That's the enemy. That's not God. That's the enemy's voice. Because he's the accuser. He's the accuser. That still small voice on the inside that says, I'm with you. I'll help you. I'll help you. That's God. But I remember just being in such a low point, and thank God I knew this scripture. I didn't know many, but I knew this one. I was like, Lord, your word says you will never forsake me. You are literally stuck with me. And you know what? That truth kept me coming back to God when I kept screwing up. Kept me coming back because I knew he loved me. I knew that he was for me. He wasn't for the things I was doing, but he was for me. He was for me. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is your help. And then down in verse number 8 says, it says this, and the Lord. He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. How many know God's saying something over and over again here? You know why? Because we need to hear it. We need to be reminded, people leave, stuff happens, and people give up on you. God never will. God never will. He is with you. He is the one. Man, just drive down, just get in your car and turn the radio off and just drive down the road just saying, you are the one. You are the one who is with me. You are the one who will never leave me. You are the one who helps me. You are the one who makes a way for me. You are the one. You are the one true God. Amen? You are the one. Hebrews 13:5 says this. He said, for he himself has said, you got God's word on it. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you say, Pastor, I thought this was about God will make a way. Listen, if God is there, he's going to make a way. Amen. If God is there, he's going to make a way. And we've just learned he's there. He's there. That's the first truth you have to understand. God is here. God is with you. God is with you. Because so often the enemy will convince us and we'll play right along like, man, I'm all alone. I got to figure this out. I got to figure out what to do. I got to work this out. I got to do all that. And when you do that, you're driving. You're like my dad. You're driving off and leaving the one most important person there. That's me. You're driving off. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to make it work. You don't have to do that. You got to trust the one who is with you. Amen. The one who is with you can have a view of something you do not have. He has knowledge you do not have. He has ability you do not have. And we got to remind ourselves, he is the one. He is the one. In Matthew chapter 5, and we're not going to turn there, because I didn't give it to the guys. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is starting a sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Tell me if you've ever heard of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. And in that, he talks about the Beatitudes. He lists the Beatitudes. The first thing he says, those who are poor in spirit will be blessed. And so often we have a misunderstanding of what that means, poor in spirit. We think, oh, it means I got to be, you know, like weak and meek and not have anything going on. That is not what that means. To be poor in spirit is just merely what that truly means. If you study it and you understand it, it means that you realize you need God. You realize I'm not God. I'm not God. Let's quit living like we're our own God. Amen. I'm not God. I don't have all the answers. I don't have what I need. The Bible says when you are poor in spirit, when you realize you need God, you've just set yourself up to be blessed. You just set yourself up to be blessed. You know what blessed means? The word blessed, it doesn't just mean, oh, bless you. No, it means empowered to prosper. You've been empowered. And so when I take a step back and I say, you know what, I'm not God, I don't have to figure this out. He is the one. He is my help. He is the one who will never leave me, never forsake me. He is God. I'm the sheep of his pasture. He's God. And when I do that, I just position myself where I need to be. I just position myself to be blessed. To be blessed. Where everything I do is blessed. Amen? And so when we look at this, and then Hebrews 13:5, Jesus says, he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I love the next part. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. When's the last time you looked for God to help you? When's the last time that you looked for the help of God, that you expected the help of God, when you leaned into the help of God? Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. He said, because he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me, I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what can man do to me. Man, isn't that good? Isn't that so good? I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. You need help today? Then boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And then let him help you. Let him help you. Let him help you. Let him help you. Get out of your head. How am I going to do it? How am I going to fix it? How's this going to work? Wringing our hands, getting all stressed out, and say, man, the Lord's my helper. The Lord's my helper. The Lord's my helper. The Lord's my helper. Instead of trying to figure something out, just step back and say, Lord, I need your help. And I thank God you are my helper. And I don't have to seek it out. You're my ever-present. Say the word with me. Help. Help. Man, who needs some help in here? I'll tell you what, I need some help. I need some help. You need help. The Lord is my helper. What better help can we get? There is none better. There is none better than God. There is none better. In Psalms 23, we all know this scripture, Psalms 23, 4. And we know Psalms 23, we've studied it. It says, even though, we could even say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even if it's that bad. I mean, no, that's pretty bad. Even if I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. For you are with me. Man, let's not let this just be something on a greeting card. Let's let it be a truth that we live from. Amen? Let's let it be a revelation that I live from. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, I love when I did that whole series on Psalms 23, one of the things we learned there is that rod, that's not to beat you with. So many people think that's what that rod's for. That rod is to beat the wolves with. Amen. God's going to protect you. God's going to protect you. That rod's not for you. That's for your enemies. That's for the evil around you. And his staff is that gentle nudge that says, let's go left. Let's go left. That's what that is. And I don't have to fear because he's with me. He's with me. And you know what the shepherd does? A shepherd leads. We got to let God lead. You want God to make a way? Let him lead. He knows the way. Amen? He knows the way. And then in Psalms 31, we have David here. And David is walking something back. He's walking something. He said something. And then he's like, oh, wait, man, I shouldn't have said that. Anybody ever done that? We've done that. We're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that, right? I shouldn't have said that. And he said, go to the next one. He said, for I said in my haste. Anybody ever said anything in haste? Said anything in emotion? Where you're just like, ooh. And so David's here. He said, I said in my haste, I am cut off from them before your eyes. He said, I shouldn't have said that. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out. Listen, David said, oh man, he said in a moment of extreme haste and emotion, he says, man, I'm cut off. And if you said that today, you need to walk that back just like David did. You need to walk that back and say, oop, hold on, I said that in haste. God, you are here with me. You hear me when I cry out. You are my ever-present, say the word with me, help. You're my ever-present, help. Amen. Psalms 34:4 says this. He said, I sought the Lord and he heard me. I sought the Lord and he heard me. God is not disconnected from you. He's not on his phone. Amen. He is present with you. He is present with you. And he says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse number 6 says, the poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You got troubles in here today? What do we need to do? Cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Don't try to candy coat it. Just tell God what is going on. If you blew it, tell the Lord. Tell God what is happening. He said, I cried out. I cried out. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse number 17, it says, the righteous cry out. That's you and that's me. He said, well, I don't feel very righteous. Righteousness has nothing to do with feelings. It has nothing to do with feelings. It's hard to feel righteous when you've blown it. It's hard to feel righteous when you have just made a huge mistake. It's hard to feel righteous when you knew to do the right thing and you did the wrong thing. It's hard to feel righteous when you feel like you're far from God. So thank God my righteousness has nothing to do with my feelings. Jesus didn't ask me how I felt about righteousness. He just made me righteous. Amen? I don't become righteous because I do it right. I've been made righteous because Jesus did it right. And you know what righteous means? Here's just a quick definition of righteousness. It means to be in right standing with God. You say, well, I don't feel like that. I don't deserve that. The good news is you don't have to feel it, and you don't deserve it. But Jesus still made you righteous. Man, that's good news. Amen? That's good news. And so the Bible says, the righteous, say that's me. That's me. The righteous cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles and delivers them out of all their troubles. Anybody got trouble in here today? I got good news for you. God specializes in trouble. Amen? God specializes in trouble. But so often we think the presence of trouble means the absence of God. Isn't that how we feel sometimes? When somebody's going through something, we're like, ooh, where's God? Where's God? God is right there in the trouble with you. He's right there helping you. The Bible says he's my ever-present help in trouble. Don't think because you're in trouble, God has forsaken you, that God has left you. No, if you're in trouble, you can have a confident assurance that your God is right there with you. What's he doing? He's helping you. He's not rolling his eyes at you. He's not seeing you again. That's not God. God is there helping you. That's what people do. You ever go to somebody, you're like, how'd you get in this mess again? Does it really matter how I got here? I just need help getting out. Right? That's how people are. That's not how God is. God loves you. God loves you in a way that we can't even comprehend because it is so far above the love of human beings. It's so even the love your mom has for you, the love of God is so much greater than that. It's so much greater than that. So when we're in trouble, doesn't matter how we got there, God's still our helper in it. The absence of the presence of trouble does not mean the absence of God. You know what it does? It ensures his presence. Do you get that? Amen. The presence of trouble ensures God's presence. Don't think just because you're in trouble, God's going to leave you. No, he's there with you. He's not a fair-weathered friend. He doesn't bail at the first sign of trouble. No, God is there. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He is your ever-present help in trouble. Amen. And you know, we say that, how does God do it? Just like with Job, God didn't get, you know, the answers kept coming. God led him to himself. It's through the person of God. I always say this, the answer to every question is God. He is the answer to every question. Every question. And so how is God making a way? How is God helping me today? Now we know, just how many are ready for a short little Bible lesson? We know from Genesis all the way to Revelations, the Bible says that God is a Trinity. He is three parts. All three parts are equal. All three parts can stand on their own, but all three parts are together. You say, oh, that doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't have to. God is bigger than your brain. And there are some things you just got to be like, all right, God, how can three and one be one, but three and how's that work? Well, God shows us through our own bodies. We're three parts. But my spirit's not sitting in my office. Is it? No, it's right here. It's right here. I didn't leave my soul at home. It's right here. I'm all together, but there are three distinct parts of me, right? And so when we think about the Trinity, one of the things when we think about how's God helping me, one of the things we need to do is locate where is everybody? Where is everybody? You know, people used to make fun of me when I was a youth pastor because no matter how many times, no matter how many kids we had, every single time, without fail, I would count them. When you got on the bus, you got counted. When you got off the bus, we counted you. Because I heard a story of a youth pastor that left a kid at the toll plaza. And I was like, that'll never happen to me. I do not want to be that. I don't want to be on the news, right? I don't want to be on the news. And so it's always like, where's everybody at? Well, let's see, where's everybody at? God is in heaven. God is seated on the throne in heaven right now. Right now. Where's Jesus? Jesus, the Bible says, is seated at the right hand of the Father. Interesting side note. One time the Bible says Jesus stood, and it was when Stephen was being martyred. It was almost like Jesus was giving Stephen a standing ovation. He stood. It's one time. That's another message. And so God is in heaven. He's on the throne. And Jesus, the Bible says, is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where Jesus is right now. It's a real place, a real throne. It's really there. Amen. And you know what he's doing? The Bible says he's making intercession for you and for me. Where's the Holy Ghost? He's here. He's on the earth. He's now dwelling inside temples not made by hands. He's dwelling in us. The Holy Ghost is here. Jesus said, it's better for you that I go, because when I go, the Comforter will come. Well, guess what? Jesus left. The Holy Ghost came. And so now we know where everybody's at. And we can see in Romans 8:34, it says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now, we know the Bible says that when we pray, and I know I'm throwing a lot out, but just stay with me. Don't check out. Be present. You need this. I need this. I don't want to take this journey by myself. I don't want to leave who's most important behind because I'm in too big of a hurry. Or I got my head somewhere it doesn't belong. I need my head in the game because life is rough and there's trouble in it. And so the Bible says that God is on the throne. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Ghost is here. He dwells in me. He is upon me. But the Bible says that when I pray, it says to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. You can kind of think of it like this. You got mail. It's to God, care of Jesus. And so when I write to, when I put my petitions, when I go before the Lord and I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, it's going to go through Jesus first. And Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession. He's pleading my case. The Bible says he is my advocate. And so when that comes in, when that report comes in, it says, oh, Peggy's in trouble again. Peggy's in trouble again. Peggy screwed up. Peggy said something she shouldn't have said. She did something she shouldn't have done. And I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, help me. I'm in trouble. Anybody been there? Lord, help me. I'm in trouble. You know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to be like, God, this is your daughter. She loves you. I died for her. She has a call of God on her life. She is your chosen one. And he's pleading my case. He's going before, he's going to God and saying, God, we're for her, not against her. We have mercy for her. Let's give her what she needs, not what she deserves. Let's give her the grace that she needs. I want to give her all of my riches. I want to give it all to her, God. That's what Jesus is doing. He's my advocate. He's pleading my case. Yesterday, Mozzie totally chewed up the DeWalt toolkit manual. Totally chewed it up. And so it's all over the floor. And so Scott comes in and he goes, I see Mozzie chewed up the manual. And so I'm sitting there and I jokingly say, I said, oh, Mozzie knows how smart you are, that you don't even need this manual. You already know how all these things work. You don't even need it. And Scott goes, Mozzie, what's it like having your own lawyer? What's it like having a full-time lawyer for yourself? But you know what? That's exactly what Jesus is doing. Yeah. Jesus is your full-time lawyer. He's your full-time advocate. He's pleading your case. He's pleading your case to Jesus. He's pleading mercy for you. Amen. And you know what? God listens. God listens. And you know, when we think about that, and then we got Jesus up there. He's pleading my case to Father God. He's speaking on my behalf. He's calling out mercy for me. And then I got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is here. The Holy Ghost is here to help me, to comfort me, to strengthen me. The Holy Ghost, he is the agent of change for God. He is the agent of presence. He is the presence of God. So when I locate where everybody is, I'm covered. Amen. Listen, don't limit the Holy Ghost. Listen, if this offends you, wake up. Don't limit the Holy Ghost to a service. The Holy Ghost doesn't just show up in a Holy Ghost service. The Holy Ghost is for every day, every minute, every second of your life. Don't limit him to a service like, oh, that was a Holy Ghost service. Hey, how about a Holy Ghost life? There's 168 hours in the week, and if you only encounter the Holy Ghost in maybe a two-hour service, you got 166 hours where you still need help. Don't limit him to an experience. He is a person, and he's here to help you. He's here to strengthen you. He's our helper. He's our comforter. He's our strengthener. So I got God. He's got all the power. I got Jesus. He's working on my behalf. And I got the Holy Ghost right here. I don't have to get somewhere. He's already here. He's right here with me. He's in me. He's my helper. He's my strengthener. He's my comforter. Amen? How's God going to make a way? He's going to do what he does best. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to give you wisdom. Amen? We're going to look at a few more scriptures here, and then we're going to close out. Psalms 100, verse number 3. I want you to get this today. The Lord is my helper. He's my ever-present help in time of need. God will make a way. Amen? He'll make a way. Psalms 100, verse number 3, it says, no. You know, whenever in the Old Testament the word no, it's a Hebrew word, and it means to know intimately. You know, in marriage relationships, it's talking about Adam and Eve, they knew each other. It is the most intimate form of knowledge you can have. And he says, know that the Lord, he is God. I mean, sometimes we just need to stop there and remind ourselves, I'm not God. I'm not God. I'm the sheep. You need to just look in the mirror and be like, bah, I'm the sheep. I don't need to be God in my life. That role is taken. It's taken. He says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. God made me. God knows what's best for me. God knows how to work things out. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It's up to the shepherd to take care of the sheep. Sheep do not take care of themselves. I've taught this before. Sheep are the most defenseless animals there are. They have zero defensive ability. They don't have big teeth. They don't have claws. They can barely run, and they fall asleep standing up. And the truth be known, sheep are not the brightest animals. That's just truth. But God says, that's what you are. He could have said, you are the lions of my jungle. No, he said, you're the sheep of my pasture. Right? We're not lions. We're the sheep of his pasture. We're the ones who can't take care of themselves. We're the one who needs somebody to lead us to food. We're the ones who need a shepherd. Listen, don't try to fight it. Just own it. Amen. I'm not God. I don't need to be God. I'm a sheep and he's my shepherd. Amen. I'm a sheep. I don't got to figure it all out. I don't have to. Isaiah 43, verse number 2, is one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible, right here. It says, when you pass through the waters, it's not if, it's when. It's not if hard times are coming, it's when hard times are coming. Don't be one of those people. You know, people either fall usually on two. One person's like, oh, everything is bad. I knew there was going to be water. It's terrible. It's all terrible. Life stinks. It's terrible. Nobody's helping me. I'm all alone. You ever met anybody like that? Yeah. Right? Don't look around. Right? Don't look at him. Don't point. You know, but the thing is, I mean, people are either that way or they're like, I don't have any problem. 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 They're just silly. How many know they got problems? Right? Or they just want to disconnect from their problems. They just want, you know, we got the ostrich. Oh, I'm just going to disconnect. I'm going to keep so busy that I don't have to deal with my problems. I'm going to be so busy, I don't have to do it. I'm going to be so occupied. I'm going to be so checked out. I'm going to be so full of what, whether it's food, entertainment, or craziness. I'm going to be so full of whatever that I don't have to deal with what's going on. Let me tell you, that don't work. That don't work. Because if you're an ostrich, you got your head in the sand, what do I say? You're just getting your butt kicked every day. Because that's what's sticking out. And so it's not if, it's when. When, even Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. That doesn't seem like it goes together, does it? But it does. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Oh, and that's so good. Listen, stuff's coming. Let's go to the next verse. Stuff's coming. You're going to go through some hard times. He says, for I am the Lord. Feel like you're drowning in here today? God says, I am the Lord. Feel like things are on fire all around you? He says, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Your Savior. Man, this is Old Testament. How much more in the New? How much more? Amen? God just led them out here. Jesus died for you. He died for you. How much more? Oh, thank you, Lord. And then our last scripture, Psalms 23 out of the Amplified. Psalms 23, verse number 4 out of the Amplified. It says, even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me. Your rod to protect, your staff to guide. They comfort, console me. I love that. You are with me. You are with me. Man, you're in trouble in here today? God's with you. Feel like you blew it? God's with you. Feel alone? That's just a feeling. It's not truth. How many know feelings lie? Your feelings will tell you all kind of stuff, but you got to go to the truth. You got to go to the truth and say, man, it doesn't matter how I feel. It matters what God's word says. And the more I focus on the truth, the more my feelings will change. Truth does not change. Feelings do. Feelings do. So no matter where you're at today, you feel like you got your back up against the wall, maybe not today, but the time when you go through the water. We need to be reminded and we need to remember, don't leave God out of it. You need God now more than ever. I need God now more than ever. I need God. You know why? Because he's God. He's God. And he's my helper. He's my helper. Don't listen to the lies of the devil that say because you blew it, God won't help you. No, wherever there's trouble, no matter how it came to be, God is there. God is there. And his love, listen to me. The Bible says in 1 Peter that love covers a multitude of sin. God's not okay with what we do, but he's always okay with us. And he says, you got yourself into some trouble? I'm there. I'm your help. I'm your help. And so how does God do it? God gives us strength. God gives us power. He gives us knowledge. He gives us wisdom. He helps us. Amen? And so for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about receiving healing and comfort, forgiveness and acceptance, grace and peace, hope and courage, favor and help. How does God make a way? Right there, that's how he does it. That's how he does it. But you know what? We need to start just making God will make a way. Make that part of our vocabulary. When you're sitting at the dining room table and you got your head down and you got a pile of stuff and you say, God will make a way. When your kids are going crazy, God will make a way. When your marriage feels broken, God will make a way. When you feel like nothing is working, God will make a way. Amen? When our nation feels like it's going crazy, God will make a way. You know how I know that? He told me. He told me. He told me. He said, I'll make a river in a dry land. I'll make a river in a dry land. I'll do what nobody else can do because I'm God. Oh, isn't that good? God will make a way. Let's pray together.